Well, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
A few days early, but it'll be there
Thursday.
The time we come back. So I'll tell you, missing these Thursday night Bible studies kills me because I feel like I haven't been in church for a month. Huh? I know. We should have just had it anyhow. And
I mean, Christmas Day. Couldn't have been a better time.
I know. It would have been fine. It would have been fine with me. So how important, we're going into a new year, how important is it to understand and experience our spiritual passion? Now, we got to be careful because we don't want to get this mixed up with worldly passion. So now we can all agree that nothing great in our life, so we're not talking just spiritually now, but nothing great in our life was ever achieved without passion and without courage. But now spiritual passion without salvation, we cannot obtain true passion and courage. So let's define what spiritual passion and courage is. So passion is what? It is the spiritual energy that we have through the Holy Spirit. So it's these things that the Holy Spirit would have us to acquire. That's what our spiritual passion is. And the courage is the power that God gives unto us so that we'll be able to carry out those passions in our life without worldly fear, without Satan putting those things in there to keep us from doing so in our life. So where does this passion and courage come from? And once we find it, then how do we know what to do with it? So when we've got to learn how to obtain this spiritual passion in our life. So here's where it comes from. Spiritual passion is our desire for God's purpose in our life. That's what our spiritual passion is all about. Now, courage, on the other hand, gives us the willing desire to act upon it. So it's all about our what? Our willing desire to be holy, faithfully committed unto God. So this enables us as believers to live out our faith in Christ. Our faith started when we were saved. It enables us to continue to live out our faith in Christ. So it is our fulfillment, God allowing us to fulfill our divine calling in Him. This is what our spiritual passion and courage is all about. So spiritual passion does what? It provides us the way, all right? Spiritual passion provides us the way, which is our desire for God's plan and purpose in our life. And spiritual courage provides the how, or means shows us how to go about this way that God wants us to go. This is the strength that we get by the indwelling Holy Spirit, and not just by not what we get, but by acting upon those things that God has in store for us in our life. So I'll ask one more time. How important is it for us to have or to experience our spiritual passion and courage in the Lord? So we're going to go to the book of Joshua, and what we want to look at, we're going to Joshua chapter 1, and we want to learn a little bit about our spiritual passion and courage, and we want to learn a little bit about how to achieve those things in our life that comes through that. So the book of Joshua chapter 1, we're going to read verses 5 through 9. Joshua 1, starting with verse 5. He says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life, For as I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. So the first thing that we see here that encourages or incites our spiritual passion and courage is promise. Promises from God. Now, promises from man should not do this or have any bearing on our life. But promises from God should be everything to us in our life. So he says, no man, nothing of this world will be able to stand before thee, meaning nothing in this world will be able to overcome thee in thy life, because he said, I'm going to be with thee. He says, I fail not, because I will never forsake thee. Now, what is the expectation then of this promise? So God goes on to give this to Joshua. He says, so be strong and be of good courage. This is God's expectation of the promise that he has given unto us. He said, here's my expectation. I just promised you that I'll be with you. I'll never fail you. Nothing in this world will ever be able to overcome you. So he said, here's what I expect from you. I made you this promise. I expect you to be strong, and I expect you to be of good courage. So he says, for unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance of the land, and which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. And he says again, but thou hast to be strong, and thou hast to be very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to the law. So in order to be strong, in order to be to have courage, in order to have passion, then one thing we must do is we must be obedient to the Word of God. Amen? So this is God's expectation for us. So he said, according to this law, which Moses, my servant, commanded me, and here's what he says, don't turn away from it. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So we had one promise, and we have many expectations of that one promise. So he says in verse 8, this book of the law, which is the word of God, he said, then don't let it depart from you. He said, it shall not depart out of my mouth, but thou will meditate. How many, what are we talking? We talk about reading. We talk about studying. We talk about meditating. We talk about doing it through prayer. He said, meditate on it, what? Day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written in the book. So we're talking about obedience again. So what is God's expectation of us? It is to be obedient. Obedient to the word of God. So he said, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. We're talking about spiritual prosperity now. And thou shalt have good success. He says, have I not commanded thee? So he's asking this question. Have I not commanded thee that thou should be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. What a promise. Now, we like the promise. We don't always like the expectation. But what a great promise that God has made, and what a great expectation he has for us in our life. Now, he wouldn't expect if he didn't know we couldn't do it. So the expectation is all part of this great promise that he gives unto us. So as we're looking at this passage of Scripture here, God wanted Joshua. Here's what he wanted Joshua to do, because Joshua was feeling a little down and out and lowly because Moses wasn't around anymore. But he wanted Joshua to pick up where Moses left off. Now, in our life today, we're to pick up where? We're to pick up where Christ left off. When Christ went on back to be with the Father, he now sits at the right hand of the Father. It's our responsibility to pick up where he left off. So God also knew, and this is why we have the Word of God, God also knew he just couldn't tell Joshua to do it. Because when you tell me something, when we tell you something, it does what? We have a hall ahead. That's right. Goes in this ear and out there, or vice versa, however you want to say it. So he said he knew I just couldn't tell him to do it. He knew he had to make sure that he'd done something, because we can't do nothing in our life without passionate. We have to be passionate about the things that God wants us to do. So he had to give him, not only did he have to, in order for him to be passionate about it, he had to give him the courage to do it. God has to give us the courage to do those things that he has in store for us to do in our life. So it's no different. Today, when we see, here's what's happened. Why do we lack passion, or why do we not have any passion? Why is that? We have no desire. We have no courage. So this is what God, he has to stem this in our life. He has to, somehow he has to get us to have it. So this morning, when people woke up this morning, oh, it's after Christmas, it's between Christmas and New Year, oh, they won't miss me at church today. Why? You had no passion. You had no courage. You had no desire. How do we get that back into people? How do we get people to understand that in order to work for the Lord, we need these things in our life? So God needs for us to see our potential. This is why we don't have any passion or courage or desire, because we do not see our potential in the Lord. So God wants us to see the potential in our life in Christ, not our potential in the world, but our potential in our life in Christ, because passion is born in us when we allow God to give us a glimpse of our true potential. We don't have passion about anything if we don't see the potential in it. So I have to see the potential of wanting to get up and go to church. I have to see the potential of wanting to get up and go to Bible study. I have to see the potential of wanting to go out and be a witness to the world, to show others what my salvation is all about. I have to see the potential in that. So now, courage, here, when God finally gets us to see our potential and he gives us passion, then courage comes when, by faith, now we begin to put our confidence in God. Does no good to see our potential if we don't have the confidence to do it. So God has to give us confidence to do the work that he has for us to do. So therefore, passion is what? Passion is the reason for the journey that God has given us to take while we live here upon this earth. And courage is the light that he gives us and shows us the way to do it. Okay? So I'm going to give you six. This might run over a little. I hope not. So I'm going to give you six qualities this morning, and I'll try to go through them really fast. Six qualities, six things we're going to see in the Word of God that will help us to see the potential of our spiritual passion and courage in the Lord. So let's start with number one. The first thing that we've got to learn to understand is that when worldly fear begins to overwhelm us, and it will every day in our life, we must, okay? This is on us now. We must make the choice to overcome it. All right? If we don't make the choice to overcome the worldly fear, we're not going to overcome it in our life. We're not going to see our potential. We're not going to feel the passion and the courage. We're not going to have confidence to do the things that God wants us to do. So how do we do this? In the book of 2 Timothy, let's try to go through these quickly here. In the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, here's what he says. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, and here's what he's got. When we accepted the saving grace of Jesus Christ, God filled us with the indwelling Holy Spirit, but he says, I got to get you to remember what it's all about. So he said, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in you. All right, this gift that God has given unto us. Now, I'm not going to read every word down through here. And when you go on down through, he said that we weren't given the spirit of fear, but we were given the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind, so that we might do those things that God has in store for us to do in our life. So if you jump over into verse 9, he said, who has saved us, who has called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. All right? And he says, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, the one who abolished death, who hath brought life, who hath brought immortality, and hath brought life to us through his gospel. So, we have to make choices. And the choice that we are making is we're going to make this choice that we are not going to allow the abilities that God gave us through our salvation. We are not going to allow these spiritual abilities to fade away in our life. We're going to seek after them. We're going to keep them active. We're going to actively work to keep them strong in our life. This is what God wants for us. So here's how this works, okay? Our salvation was not earned by our own effort. Okay, so if you're relying on your own effort to keep the spiritual abilities going in your life, they're going to fade away. It wasn't by our own effort. It was not earned by good deeds. We didn't do it by our merits, but our calling, the things that God has called for us to do, it is rooted and grounded in His unmerited grace. Everything that happens in our life is because of the grace of God. So that means that our salvation was established by God's grace through Christ Jesus. He abolished our death, he said, which was eternal punishment. He brought us into life. He brought us into immortality. He offered us hope. He offered us purpose. He offered us everlasting life to anyone who will believe. That is how we're going to make the choice to overcome, is by following after those things that God has for us in our life. Number two, we must. These are all must because these are all commandments from God. There's no exception to any of these, especially this one. But as believers, we must follow after the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Now, the best verse that I can give you for that, and you all ought to have it memorized, but we're going to turn to it and read it, is in Proverbs, okay? Proverbs, y'all know where I'm going with this. Proverbs chapter 3, starting with what? Verse 5. This is the best encouragement that I can give you. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct your path. He, him, Christ, God shall direct our path. He says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. So that means as believers, God is instructing us to trust completely, wholly and completely in His Son. We're not supposed to look to man's understanding or our own understanding. And why, since He's saying this, then what are we doing? We must be relying on our own understanding, or God wouldn't have to tell us not to do it. So when you read that verse and you read, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, it's not just a promise, it's a commandment, because if God has directed you there, then we must be relying on our own understanding, and He wants us to switch and start trusting in the Lord. So that's the first thing we've got to do. We've got to realize that, yes, we are relying on our own understanding. And yes, God wants us to change and rely upon His understanding. So He wouldn't be calling us to surrender if we didn't have nothing to surrender. So we have to surrender this personal control that we have over ourselves, and we have to acknowledge Him in every aspect of our life so that we might allow Him to guide us and make, He says, our pathway straight, or direct us in the pathway to go. We must learn to trust the Lord. So, number three, we've got to learn how to persevere through adversity in our life. Now, we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school class, because when things begin to happen in our life, spiritual blindness begins to set in. We begin to focus on those things that spiritually blind us, and now we can't do nothing else because we're focused upon the things of the world around us. God said we've got to learn how to persevere through this adversity that's going on in our life. In the book of 2 Corinthians, here's what he says. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. He says, here's how you're going to be able to persevere. He says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Thereby understand the treasure that we have. Huh? It's the Holy Spirit, the saving grace of God, the Holy Spirit. He says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. He said, the excellency of the power of God, and it's not for us. And he says, here's what it does for us. It says, when we are troubled on every side, then we're not distressed. Okay, pay attention to this. This is not my words. This is what God inspired Paul to write to the church at Corinth. He said, when you're troubled on every side, you're not distressed. Now, when you or I are troubled on every side, we're what? That's right, we're distressed. But he says, no. He says, as believers, you're not distressed. You think you are, but you're not. He said, when we are perplexed, we're not in despair. He said, when we're persecuted, we're not forsaken. He said, when we're cast down, we're not destroyed, because we always bear about in the body the dying of the Lord. Meaning we always bear about in our body the salvation that we have accepted freely from God. Nobody can take that away from us. We have that within us, he said, so that the life of Jesus might be made manifested in our body. What we have to do is we have to let it out. And we cannot let it out if we're being distressed, if we're in despair, if we're being forsaken, if we're being destroyed. We have to get rid of those. Those things do not exist in our life. We want them to exist in our life, but God says they do not exist in our life because the Holy Spirit exists in our life. Therefore, we don't have that as long as we don't claim it. So what does this mean? This means that we are going to willingly share in the sufferings of Christ, okay? This is going to happen, but just because we're willingly sharing in those sufferings, it doesn't mean that they have to be revealed through us. Christ is revealed through us. So we remember, we see our weaknesses, we see the hardships, but we make sure that we don't see them as signs of failure in our life. When we tell ourselves we failed, then we've what? We failed. But we don't see them as signs of failure. We see them as opportunities that allows God's glory to shine forth within us, which ultimately is going to point others to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Number four, we have to learn to stand firm. Now, stand firm. Don't take this the wrong way. Don't misinterpret this, because most people think that when it says to stand firm, we're going over to Galatians chapter 5. But most people think when we're supposed to stand firm, that means we're supposed to argue about the Scripture. We're supposed to stand up and put our opinion out there, and we're going to argue about it. That's not what standing firm in the Lord is all about. In Galatians, let's go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, we're going to read verse 1 first. He says, stand fast therefore in the liberty where Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So the liberty that Christ, that means he freed us from sin. When he died upon the cross, he paid our sin debt. When he was resurrected, when he rose from the grave, he ensured us that we have liberty now from sin. So he said, why in the world, and here's how believers do it, when they stand and they argue about the Scripture, then they're entangling themselves again in the yoke of bondage. God said, I freed you from that. You don't have to argue about that. All you got to do is live it. Be a living example of it. Don't entangle yourself once again in it. Now, if you jump right on over into verse 6, here's what he says. Galatians, 16, I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. 16, he says, this I say then, so here's how we don't entangle ourselves again in this yoke of bondage. He says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So do you know what tries to get you to do all of these things when it comes to the Word of God? It's the flesh. It's the pridefulness, the lustfulness of the flesh. He said, if you're walking in the Spirit, you won't want to fulfill those lusts that are going on within you. And he said, this is what's going to help us to stand firm in Christ. So we live in a life that we think this just isn't possible. There's just no way that I can let somebody come up to me and say something without expressing my opinion. No, there's no way. You and I cannot do that. But if we're walking in the Spirit, we can do it by remembering that Christ is the one that paid our sin debt. Christ is the one that died, was resurrected. We're standing firm in what Christ done. Nothing that we can do can we stand firm in. So we have to refuse to fall prey to all the falseness that is going on out here in the world today. If we don't, Satan is going to use this to pull us back into the bondage of, listen to this, of our own sinful desires. Not somebody else. You're not going to stand before the Lord one of these days and say, Lord, I've done pretty good until they provoked me to do it. No, it was our own choice. They might have provoked it. We chose to jump on that bandwagon. So we our own sinful desire. We're free from this. We don't have to be a part of this in our life. So we don't need to allow, we must not allow anyone to convince us that we need to earn approval from God. Okay? And use our own worldly, emotional, sinful desires to do it. And we do this when man gets us to follow after his rules and regulations because he wants us to be concerned how we should live our life in Christ. If you want to know how you should live your life in Christ, where are you going to find it? Right here in the Word of God. He'll give you understanding through His Word of how He wants you to live your life in Christ. And we know this because Christ broke that yoke. He broke those chains of bondage so that we might have the ability to stay free, to stand fast in the liberty that we got through our salvation and live according our life according to our faith in Him. This is what God wants us to do. Number 5, I'm going to hurry. We have to learn to spiritually mature in our life. So that means we must learn to grow in wisdom, we must learn to grow in knowledge, and we must learn to grow in our understanding of God's Word. Let's go back in the book of Proverbs again. Chapter 2 this time. Proverbs chapter 2. Starting with verse 1. Here's what he says. My son. And no, we're not leaving you women out. My son or daughter, however you want to put it. If thou wilt receive my words. Now listen, there's more to just receiving them. He said, if thou wilt receive my words. We have to value. There's got to be some value here. Then he said, and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou wilt incline thine ear unto wisdom. Apply thine heart to understanding. Yes, if thou criest after knowledge, liftest up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest after that, just like you would seek after anything else that you thought had some kind of value, he said, then shalt thou understand what the fear of the Lord is all about. Well, understand what it means to begin to be reverent unto the things that God has in store for us. And he said, not only that, and we will find the knowledge of God. He said, for the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh the knowledge and the understanding. So, as believers, it's a good thing to gain wisdom, to gain knowledge, to gain understanding. But remember this, and this is what he tries to tell us here. Just receiving the Word of God isn't enough. See, we have this illusion that I've read the Bible through a time or two. I've done this, I've done that. The problem is we have to cherish it. Okay? You can't put this whole thing in there and cherish it all at one time. It'd be too overwhelming. So whatever it is that God is showing us in His Word, He's doing it because He wants us to value it. He wants us to cherish that in our life. When we begin to cherish the understanding that God has given unto us through His wisdom and knowledge, then our passion, God's going to then begin to reveal our passion to us, what we're passionate about. Now, I would like to be passionate about everything in the Word of God. One of these days, when I become immortal, I'll be able to do that. But for right now, I'm passionate about what He shows me and what He allows me to understand. So we have to learn that we must treat our understanding of the Word of God as it is, and it is the most precious thing in our life above all else. Now, it might just be one verse. It might be two or three verses. It might be a whole book. But He is going to show us that. So when we're talking about above everything else, and this never goes well with anybody, we're talking about excluding not just material possessions, because most people say, oh, I don't need a fancy house. I don't need a fancy car. I don't need this. I don't need that. I'll cherish God's Word above everything else. What about mother, father, wife, husband, kids, grandkids? Okay, so now we're getting down to the part where I don't know if I can do that, Lord. I don't know if I can put You above all of those things in my life. Let me tell you a true story, and I've told this before. A young man that God had called to preach, this hasn't been too many years ago, and God put the calling upon his life. And his one thing was, as he said, Lord, I've got a new young baby in my life, a daughter. And I just she has to come before You. That's more important to me than anything else. That baby went on to be with the Lord. And God said, now what's more important in your life? Me? It's a true story. And I know this just not very popular, because we all, I can't come to church this morning. I got to go here because my daughter or my grandkid or this or that or all these things that are going on. And there's times that God is going to work that out. But there's times that we use that for an excuse too. And God said, I have to come first. Because this is the only way that God's going to be able to control our life and guide us in the direction that He would have us to go, if He is in complete control of everything. And if we make the effort to allow God to be first in our life above all else, He'll provide a way for the rest. We don't have to worry about it, because he'll take care of it. Did you hear me? He will provide a way. The last thing, and even though it's the last, there's no least importance to any of this, but we can only achieve passion and courage through our faith in Christ and our obedience to His Word. It's all about our life in Christ. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 30, here's what it says. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall not much more He clothe us? And He says, O ye of little faith, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But here's what He says, and this goes above everything else. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. There is no Lord, I got to do this, I got to do that. The Lord says the only thing we need to do is seek Him, His righteousness. He'll make a way for everything else. So that means as believers, we have to learn to prioritize God in our life. And the only way we can do this is by living righteously. And living righteously means above everything else. Above everything else. Then God will provide us with everything else that He sees fit for us to have in our life. And He'll free us from all that worry and worldly fear, and He'll give us spiritual purpose if we only make Him the focus of our life. He has to be the focus of our life. We have to trust in Him that He's going to align our life with His will. And when we begin to allow Him to do that, then every decision that we make, every action that we put forth, every thought that we have will reflect God. It'll reflect His power in our life. It'll affect His rule in our life. It will reflect His reign in our life, because now we're living according to His values and His purpose and not according to our own. So that means, if we will seek after it, meaning God, He will give unto us spiritual passion and courage. The problem is, I don't always want it, because I don't always want to put Him first in my life. But God will give us that. And He'll make sure that any adversity that comes up from it, He'll give us the strength and He'll motivate us so that we'll have the determination and the self-confidence to be able to go through it. God will give us the ability to overcome if we put Him first. So we must remember that worldly passion and courage relies upon our human abilities. We turn it off and we turn it on as we see fit. But spiritual passion and courage, true spiritual passion and courage, relies upon the power of God. So what do you want going forth from this day and into this new year? We want spiritual passion and courage. We want to put God first in our life. So we must ask ourselves, how much of it do we have? And Do we want more? And do we want to put forth that first in our life in Christ and not the things of the world? It's a hard choice sometimes that we have to make to put God first. But He'll help us make that choice if we will seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to You this morning, Lord, it's truly thankful. Lord, we're thankful for the time of year that You've brought us through, Lord, that we could celebrate the birth of Your Son, Christ. We're thankful, Lord, that You're bringing us forward into another new year. And we would just pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, we need that passion and that desire and that courage within us. We need to see our potential. We need the confidence, Lord, to be able to go out and to show others, Lord, what Your saving grace is truly all about, Heavenly Father. Whether You come today, tomorrow, next year, or in the next 10 years, we still, Lord, couldn't do enough for You to be able to show others what Your saving grace is truly all about. So help us, Lord. Give us that passion. Give us that desire. Give us that courage to go forth, to do those things that You would have, Lord, for us to do, so that we might better serve Thee, Heavenly Father. Help us to put aside the worldly excuses that we use, Heavenly Father, and help us to follow after Your will in our life, Lord. We just pray, Lord, as we lift one another up and the many requests that were made today, Lord, that You would help us, that You would help us to follow Your leadership and the guidance of Your Holy Spirit, that we may always be found doing those things, Lord, that are pleasing unto Thee. Forgive us, Lord, for we have sinned and fallen short of Your glory. Help us, Lord, not to forget to give You praise, honor, and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Okay, remember Thursday evening, we'll not be having Bible study on Thursday evening. Sunday, we will be where?
In heaven.
In heaven. Good answer. If we're not in heaven come Sunday, if we are, we'll have church up there. If not, we'll be having church over at Big Isaac. So keep that in mind. Sunday school at 10, preaching at 11. We also, because of everything that's been going on, the holidays and all, we will not be having breakfast after church this time, but sometime a little bit later on, they are going to be putting something together, and through the winter days, beans and cornbread. Soup, beans, and cornbread. I know y'all like soup, beans, and cornbread. So we will be doing that sometime. Also, and I should be getting them today, and I'll get them passed out this week up through to Sunday, but I have ordered some books that we're going to use for Bible study. All right? And it's just kind of guidelines, but I think hopefully it'll help everybody. We'll have kind of a little study guide. Gives you some scriptures, gives you a topic. We want you to put your own thoughts and your own scriptures with it. But I'm kind of hoping that'll help get everybody a little bit more involved. Not that you're not involved now, but we want more involvement. We want more participation. So when those books come in, I'll be getting them out to everybody that wants one that comes to Bible study. Anything else?